It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the final day of pre-split fixtures. Well, sort of. Celtic are looking to stretch their lead at the top against St Mirren before Rangers try and respond at Ross County tomorrow. It's been quite the week for Dundee. They're out to secure top six at Aberdeen, with Motherwell against Hibs both in the mix. Hearts, Livy and St Johnstone, Kilmarnock make up your top flight card in what is very much the business end of the season. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Gordon Dale, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
Never mind the weather. Celtic Park, a 60,000 sellout today, and that's because the countdown to the title has begun in earnest. Six to go for Brendan Rodgers' side, but St Mirren can go there and play without fear of the consequences, because they are top six nailed on. Motherwell and Hibs want to be top six. They are game of the day material at Fir Park. But it's Dundee who are the most talked about team in the country. Nothing to do with Tony Docherty and his players. Everything to do with the wettest field in Scotland. But they're at Aberdeen today, so the game will go on. And if Dundee win, they're top six officially. Big games, big excitement.
Yeah, big afternoon, like you said there, and a huge one at Celtic Park. After last week's game at Rangers, an incredible draw for Celtic, it's important that they build on that with a win and the opportunity to go 4 points ahead. But like you said, St Mirren will be dangerous opposition. Sometimes when you come up against a team that just play freely, it could be very, very dangerous. But all across the country, Motherwell v Hibs, something in that one. Hearts v Livy, can consign Livy. Hearts looking to go in that, keep that good run going. And Aberdeen v Dundee, will that be so pivotal in the top six battle?
Well, we can say the weather outside doesn't look good, but I think the fixture list looks absolute brilliant this afternoon. Some exciting games. All starts at Celtic Park. Can Celtic get that 3 points? Put a bit of pressure on Rangers. We say it every week. They're playing tomorrow. A lot of good games. Motherwell, Hibs, got to have one eye on Fir Park this afternoon. Aberdeen, Dundee, the same. St Johnstone, Kilmarnock, really important for St Johnstone. And I've got to say, you look at the Championship, some good games in the Championship and all the way down the leagues.
It's been the type of week that reminds you Scottish football certainly has its flaws, but let's not forget how important this end of the season is going to be. Big games, top, middle and bottom of the league in the Premiership this afternoon. So let's start at the top, right at the top, because Celtic hosts St Mirren and Gabriel has teams.
Good afternoon from Celtic Park. It's a big day for the defending champions. The chance to go 4 points clear at the top of the table and really put the pressure on Rangers to deliver maximum points in their two games in hand. The Hoops are looking to build on last week's thrilling 3-3 draw in the Old Firm. They were scintillating in the first half but dropped well off the pace in the second 45 to let their rivals back in. Brendan Rodgers will be looking for a full 90-minute performance this afternoon against this Paisley opposition, who've been flying high themselves. Overall, Celtic's form's great. Only one defeat in their last 17 games. That loss coming in controversial circumstances at Tynecastle. Team news, and a Northern Irishman makes two changes to the side that he fielded at Ibrox. Dazen Maeda is out with a hamstring injury. We won't know the severity of that until next week. Liam Scales also misses out with a slight strain. They're replaced by Mike Navrotsky, making his first start in defence since February, and wide man Yang. Captain Callum McGregor is still being nursed back to full fitness after his Achilles scare. He's amongst the substitutes, as is Lewis Palmer. First time he's been in the squad for 2 months. So starting 11 today, it's Joe Hart in goal, a defence of Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Mike Navrotsky and Greg Taylor. Smokey Iwata, Matt O'Reilly and Reo Hatate will be in the middle of the park. It'll be Nicholas Kun and Hyungjun Yang on the wings. Kyogo Furuhashi leads the line. Substitutes, Bain, Ida, Palmer, Lagibielka, McGregor, Bernardo, Forrest, Ralston and Welsh. And the boys were talking about it there. St Mirren can play with freedom. There's no pressure on them. They've secured the top six. But Stephen Robinson wants his side to get that marquee victory. They've lost all of their games against the Old Firm so far this campaign. And Robinson feels a win here would make people realise how impressive they have been this season, securing back-to-back top six finishes for the first time in nearly 40 years. Of course, they're aiming to improve on last year's sixth place finish. Their eyes are on European football. They're currently 4 points ahead of seventh place, but as we know, any of Dundee, Hibs or Motherwell could end up in the top half. Two changes to his team then, the team that lost 2-1 against Hearts 7 days ago. And Mikel Mandron drops to the bench whilst Kwon is unable to face his parent club. In comes central midfielders Mark O'Hara and Keanu Backus. And their inclusion brings a slight change of shape as well. The extra midfielder makes it a 3-5-2 today. So it'll be Zach Hemmen in goal. A back three of Marcus Fraser, Alex Gogic and Richard Taylor. Elvis Bomono and Scott Tanzer will be the wing-backs with Mark O'Hara, Keanu Backus and Caelan Boyd-Munce in the middle of the park. So you'll see Olasanya and Greg Kilty are the forwards. Substitutes: Ominski, Bolton, Dunn, Strain, Brown, McMenamin, Jameson, Scott and Mandron. The referee here will be Stephen McLean, and David Dickinson is in charge of the VAR.
Well, Celtic have gone to the Missing Persons Bureau to find a defender. They've got Mike Navrotsky, who is seldom seen. Laga Bielka on the bench, seldom seen. But Brendan Rodgers is making and mending, because the loss of Maeda, I think, is a big blow for Celtic. If he misses the rest of the season, I think it's severely detrimental to their chances of winning the league. But today, they only have to do one thing, and that's beat St Mirren, who have lost their way of late, only one win in their last five games. But, as I said in the introduction, they can go there and play without fear of the consequences, because they are top six. They can go there and have a go at Celtic. Whether they do that or not, Mark, I don't know.
Yeah, no doubt it was a big blow when Celtic fans would have read the news of Maeda, and a hamstring injury for a player as explosive and dynamic for him could be quite a lengthy one. But we'll give it time to see when he's back. But Yang coming in, it's another opportunity for him, who's impressed at times throughout this season. And then Scales getting an injury. Navrotsky, another big afternoon for him. Everyone that he plays in or gets chosen for just seems to get bigger and bigger, because the jury is still well and truly out over his Celtic career. So it's a big afternoon for a couple of those. And also, when you look at the bench, Palmer back, but McGregor might not have been as close to fitness as some have thought, particularly me. He has to remain on the bench for this week, but Awata's still doing a good job in there. So I fancy Celtic today. I fancy them to build on that point from Ibrox last week.
I've said all week I fancy Celtic strongly. I think they'll have enough, especially, I thought their first half performance at Ibrox last week was excellent, but it's all about, it's a different game today. You wonder, as Hugh quite rightly says, St Mirren are going there, fantastic season, can't deny them, fantastic. Will they have a go? Which I think would be the wrong thing to do. I think you've got to go with a game plan, especially at Celtic Park and with the squad that Celtic have got. But I just think, because of the importance coming up, Rangers playing Ross County tomorrow, putting that gap again, another 3 points onto it, I think Celtic will have too much to do.
For reasons that we will get to, Mark Wilson, Celtic can go 4 points clear with a win today. When it gets to this stage in the season, where you... the type of player that really would have preferred, you know, points in the bag, does it all matter much in the end? Do we front on the outside get a bit obsessed with this psychology of who plays first and who has to catch up and that sort of thing?
I can only speak through personal preference, and I always prefer to play first on the Saturday, get the job done and get the feet up and hope and pray that something went wrong on the Sunday for the opposition. So I'll be surprised if there's not a lot of Celtic players thinking that way, but they've got a job to do first and foremost. If they get it done, it goes to 4 points, then the pressure does shift. There's no doubt about that. Doesn't matter if you're playing the team at the bottom of the league or the team second bottom that Rangers will play tomorrow, the pressure is firmly on the shoulders if you know Celtic have won the day before. So that's the stakes that are set in front of these both sets of players just now. It's great to be involved in, but one slip up could be so costly with only six games to go.
Well, I have to put it in the strongest possible terms. If you can't beat a St Mirren team who have won only one of their last five games in front of 60,000 of your own fans, who have sold out the ground, inspired by what happened at Ibrox last Sunday, thinking that Celtic have to tick the boxes six times in a row and they're champions. If you fail to do that, that's your fault.
The big thing for Celtic today, and they've come in for a bit of, well, not, I'm not going to say criticism, but they seem to have this, they play well in one half and drop off at another half.
I mean, that sounds like criticism.
Well, I'm not criticising them because
constructive criticism.
Yeah, because they're still top of the league and they could stretch up by another 3 points this afternoon. So it's quite hard to criticise that. But I think if you're involved in Celtic, coming into these last six games, the importance of them, you would like to look at. I don't think any team dominates a game for 90 minutes, but Celtic Rangers are used to dominating games for long periods, and I think that's where Celtic will need to be if they're going to win the league.
Lots to look forward to then at Celtic Park, especially concerning the title race. St Mirren have their own aims to achieve as well. Motherwell against Hibs isn't quite the straight shootout for the top six again because of other factors that have been well covered this week, Roger Hanna, but you've got a good game in your hands.
Oh, we've got a very good game in our hands here. I was just talking to the Motherwell Chief Executive, Brian Caldwell, there, Gordon. You know, he talks to and texts everyone and anyone, and we agreed it was a big game for both these sides chasing the top six, and maybe bigger for Motherwell, simply given the presence here today of a potential investor. We believe US TV executive Eric Barmack will be here today from his home in Los Angeles. This is the man ready to invest his dollars into the third part coffers. He's a former vice president of Netflix. There's talk of a Drive to Survive style docu-series on Motherwell somewhere down the line. So it all starts today for Eric, and he'll be desperate to see this team and get into the top six. As you say, it can be done if it's a home win today and Dundee do not take a point from their games against Aberdeen and Rangers, then we'll be in sixth place. Hibs, they need to better Dundee's result today and then hope Dundee take nothing when they play Rangers in midweek, if they play Rangers in midweek. So it is reasonably confident. The reason Motherwell are here, 3 wins and a draw in their last five. It's 11 goals in their last 15 games for Theo Bear, who's really on top form, and he'll be a threat to Hibs today. Hibs are in this position because they've had 3 defeats in a draw in their last five, including a 2-1 defeat at home to St Johnson last week. They lost here in August and they needed a stoppage time equaliser from Eli Ewan to earn a point at Easter Road in January. So expect it to be tight again. Motherwell have made 2 changes from that 3-2 win at Dundee last week. Stephen O'Donnell is back for Adam Devine, and Lennon Miller comes in for our own Andy Halliday, who I believe has been slightly under the weather and is only on the bench today. So it's Liam Kelly in goal. The back three is Dan Casey, Paul McGinn and Shane Blaney. Across the middle, Stephen O'Donnell, Davos Dravkovsky, Lennon Miller and Georgie Gent. And then it's Jack Vale and Blair Spittle supporting Theo Bear. On the bench, Oxborough, Mugabe and Halliday, Shaw, Nicholson and Ibai, Ferry, Butcher and Luca Ross. 2 changes as well for Hibs from that St Johnson defeat. Nathan Mariah Welsh and Eli Ewan come in for Nectario Triantis and Adam Lafondra, who drops to the bench. So it's David Marshall in goal. Across the back, Chris Cadden, Will Fish, Rocky Bashiri and Jordan Obita. Then it's Nathan Mariah Welsh and Joe Newell, and then Martin Boyle, Emiliano Marcondes and Mizian Merlida behind Eli Ewan. On the bench for Hibs, Wallacott, Hanlon and Levitt, Venta, Stevenson and Lafondra, Tavares, Campbell and Jacob McIntyre. The referee is Willie Collum, who coincidentally was also the referee here in 2010 when the game finished 6-6. The VAR is Don Robertson, and it would be remiss of me, Gordon, before we go any further, to wish our colleague David Friel very good luck tomorrow. He's not in the show today because he is running the Manchester Marathon tomorrow. He has targeted a time of 4 hours and 20 minutes, which, as you know, is exactly the time Daz lasted in Manchester.
He actually thinks he's funny, this boy, doesn't he? Right? I don't find him amusing at all. I wish he would stick to what he's good at, just reporting. Get on with that and move on.
Dazzler, on the basis that David Field last weekend tipped a no-goal draw at Ibrox, then that might not be speciality time.
Hold on a wee minute. You could walk a marathon in four hours and 26 minutes. My irony meter just exploded at Hugh Keevan's having a pop at somebody else's prediction.
Hold on a second.
4-0 if Carter Vickers was the thing I said. Don't forget that.
I knew that Rangers would score 3 goals. Therefore, the prediction was 50% correct. Mm. Unlike David Friel, who said no goals at all.
Yeah, it sounds a bit desperate if you ask me. But anyway, let's go to Pittodrie, because Dundee have had quite the week. Their aim is simple, though. Win the game today, they'll be top six, and then everything else sort of gets forgotten about in terms of the sporting aspect and the footballing aspect. The pitch debate will rumble on. But Dave Galloway, there's a lot at stake there.
Absolutely, Gordon. It's very sunny but windy here, and the pitch incidentally looks fantastic. Both teams have been making headlines for all the wrong reasons, as we well know. A desperately disappointing campaign and managerial upheaval for Aberdeen, with Dundee's much mentioned dense park playing surface doing them no favours at all. Hopefully these sides can generate plenty positivity this afternoon by serving up a feast of entertaining football. Getting a victory would be huge for the Dons, as we all await confirmation of their new manager. Also, they'll be desperate to build up for next weekend's Scottish Cup semi-final against Celtic on a positive note. As for the Ds, well, they've been impressive, haven't they, on their top flight return. Clinching a place in the top six would be a fine achievement, and they can do just that with a game to spare by getting a victory here. However, as we've touched upon a moment ago, with Hibs just 1 point behind them, anything could happen. It's all really exciting stuff, and plenty resting on the outcome of this one for both Aberdeen and Dundee. Let's take a quick look at the teams then. And Aberdeen have a couple of changes. Duke and Angus McDonald are in for Junior Hoylett and Richard Jensen. So it's Keller Roos in goals, a back four of Nicky Devlin, Stefan Gartenman, Angus McDonald and Jack McKenzie. The sitters, Connor Barron and Graham Shinney. Then it's Jamie McGrath, Leighton Clarkson and Duke, with Boyan Majowski leading the attack. Substitutes for Aberdeen today: Doohan, Jensen, McGarry, Phillips, Sockler, Pulvara, Duncan, Milne and Hoylett. As for Dundee, well, they are unchanged. John McCracken in goals, a back three of Antonio Portales, Joe Shaughnessy and Aaron Donnelly. Midfield five, the wing-backs Jordan McGee and Dara Costello, with Lyle Cameron, Mo Silla and Luke McCowan in the middle. Scott Tiffany and Amadou Bakayoko are in attack for the Dark Blues, whose subs this afternoon are Sharp, Dodgson, Astley, Main, Lamy, Robinson, Robertson, Boateng and Mellon. Your referee is Nick Walsh, and on VAR duties here today this afternoon is Gavin Duncan.
Huge games everywhere. You look, McDermott Park, it's about a couple of things as well. The battle to stay in the division if you're St Johnstone, and the battle to get the passports out if you are Kilmarnock. Adam Binney has the teams there.
Thanks, Gordon. Good afternoon from McDermott Park. Yes, final game before the split for two sides who already know which half of the table they will end up in. Craig Levine will be hoping that St Johnstone can build on last weekend's 2-1 away victory over Hibernia and continue their bid for league survival. A win today could take them 7 clear of relegation playoff spot holders Ross County before they play Rangers tomorrow lunchtime. The Saints have been inconsistent, to say the least. The last time that they won back-to-back league games was in October, November of last year. But the first two wins of that three-game run came against Hibernian and then Kilmarnock. Could we see a repeat of that today? Well, for Derek McInnes and his players, the objective is very different today. It provides an opportunity to strengthen their grip on fourth position, which would guarantee them European football for next season. They remain 5 points clear of fifth place St Mirren, and the manager has publicly challenged his players to hold on to fourth spot and achieve something special. They make one change to the side that beat Ross County last weekend, as teenager David Watson comes back into the side to replace Robbie Dees, as Derek McInnes opts to revert back to a back three. The team reads, well, Dennis in goal, a back three of Lewis Mayo, Joe Wright and Stuart Finlay. Liam Polworth, Liam Donnelly and David Watson make up the midfield, with Matty Kennedy and Danny Armstrong at right and left wing back. And a formidable pair up front, as always, Kyle Vassell and Marley Watkins. On the bench is O'Hara and Daba, Dees, McKenzie and Brad Lyons, for the first time he's made a squad this year after a knee operation. Balaghese, Stewart, Mackay, Stephen and Van Veen. What a bench, by the way. Unsurprisingly, Craig Levine names an unchanged 11 after last weekend's Easter Road heroics. Dimitar Mitov starts goals. David Hilton's at right back, at back three of Ryan McGowan, Andy Considine and Luke Robinson, with Tony Gallagher at left wing back. A midfield three of Matt Smith, Dan Phillips and Max Cucuravi, And up front is Nicky Clark and Adama Sidibe. Sidibe, who could become the first Saints player today to score in three consecutive league games since Michael O'Halloran way back in August 2017. On the bench for them is Richards, McPherson, May, Carey, Crawford, Kimpioka, Franjak and Connor Smith. The referee is Callum Scott and the VAR is John Beaton.
And last but not least, Hearts against Livingston in the capital. Fraser Wishart's there.
Of course, it's the last game before the split and different priorities for these two teams. Hearts virtually secure, as we know, in third place in the Premiership. And we also know the possible financial incentives for European football next season. But more imminently, of course, is the Scottish Cup semi-final next week at Hampden against Rangers. But for Livingston, it's quite simple. Anything they get today will help their very slim chances of survival. They're 9 points adrift of Ross County in 11th place. And while catching them looks unlikely, County play Rangers tomorrow, so a draw or a win, however unlikely here today for Livingston, may close that gap before the bottom six play each other post-split, when Livingston will hope to pick up some points. But anything other than a comfortable Hearts win would be a huge shock. You look at their attacking options. Lauren Shankland didn't play last week, but they still beat him on 2-1 in Paisley. He returns today, and with that semi-final in mind, he's one of six changes to that winning team. For Livingston, 3 wins in 32 games, only 20 goals scored, plenty of injury problems, they can't even fill the bench. It's really difficult to see them getting anything today. And of course, Hearts fans will be here again in big numbers. Andrew McKinley, chief executive, wanting fans to buy tickets for the semi-final next week in bigger numbers. But Hearts have always had fantastic backing from the supporters, who will expect, and I think they'll get, a few goals today. Looking at the teams for Hearts, they said they've made 6 changes. Out go Clark, Kingsley, Lembekisa, Tate, Forrest and Vargas. Significantly in comes Craig Gordon, a game today before the semi-final next week, and of course the Euros coming up in the summertime. Can he make that squad? Also Atkinson, Beningame, Oda, Mackay back from injury and Shankland. So they go with a 4-2-3-1 formation. Craig Gordon's in goals, Nathaniel Atkinson, Frankie Kent, Kai Rogues and Alex Cochran at the back, Benny Beningame and Cammy Devlin in midfield, Yutara Oda, George Grant and Barry Mackay across the midfield, and Lauren Shankland as the lone striker. Substitute Xander Clark, Stephen Kingsley, Alan Forrest, Aidan Denham, Macaulay Tate, Scott Fraser, Pierre Soko Tagawa, Kenneth Vargas and Dexter Lembesika. For Livingston, just 1 change from a team that got a draw against Aberdeen last week. Stephen Bradley drops to the bench and in comes Jason Holt. They go with a 4-2-3-1 as well. Jamal George, Michael Nottingham, Michael Devlin, Ayo Obalai and Sean Kelly. In midfield, Jamie Brandon and Jason Holt. Daniel Mackay, Scott Pittman and Stephen Kelly behind the lone striker, Tete Yenge. And only 5 substitutes for Livingston. Jack Hamilton, David Carson, Bruce Anderson, Stephen Bradley and Mo Sangare. The referee today is Colin Stephen and the VAR official is Greg Aitken.
Looking forward to that. Plenty of good games to look forward to. Familiar format for us on a Saturday. We get the team news in, that's the important bit. Then we reflect on the week's biggest talking points. I'll give you a couple of minutes to guess what this week's biggest talking point was, and we'll do it next.
Action as it happens. And your reaction from 5 on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Setting the scene ahead of some interesting 3 o'clock fixtures in the studio is Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel, the top team round the grounds as we get ready for the action that's about to take place. We do generally pause for reflection on the week's biggest talking points at this stage on a Saturday, and there is only one place to start, specifically the pitch at Dens Park. Roger Hanna, you were in on Monday. We touched on this last Saturday because the Motherwell game was touch and go. Ah, little did we know what the week would have in store.
Yeah, it's been quite a bizarre week. You know, it's almost Scottish football captured in microcosm, isn't it, Gordon? Football's not been kicked and yet has dominated the news agenda for an entire week. And still, we do not know for sure whether or not this game will take place at Dens Park on Wednesday night or not. I think Philippe Clement spoke on Thursday that there was a contingency plan that would be made known by noon on Tuesday. If Dens wasn't fit for purpose again, they would move it somewhere else. I presume that means another Premiership venue that has got VAR installed, that are willing to take the game. But if they don't make a decision to noon on Tuesday, that will almost certainly mean the game being played elsewhere behind closed doors, which is harsh on the fans. Had it been me, once that game was off on Wednesday night, I think the SPFL needed to make a decision on Thursday to say, we're moving the game elsewhere. It will take place next Wednesday night at 8 o'clock and we'll start selling tickets for the game now so that Dundee fans and Rangers fans could get into the game, because it's going to be potentially huge in terms of the title, potentially decisive in terms of the top six. And what an image does it portray if this game takes place behind closed doors at a neutral venue?
Yeah, Fraser Wishart, we've kind of seen it all in Scottish football. Well, we'll argue about pretty much anything, but it did feel like this was something slightly different during the week.
Yeah, sometimes you can just see things coming and you can see panic in the eyes of the people at the SPFL as well, because there's very few dates during the season, a few midweeks, when they can play games. And when the Rangers game was originally cancelled, then I think there was panic stations around everybody on the sixth floor. And of course, Dundee have complicated it by being so good this year, because they've got a chance of going into the top six. If they weren't, if they were sitting ninth and they were comfortable and the game didn't matter, you could probably play it after the split, and that's happened before. But now in the situation with whoever went on, and I think the key to this, we discussed it on the show last weekend, for me is to get to the bottom of what happened, you know, last summer. Because once you've made that remedial work, you've got your pitch ready, there's not much you can do. You're stuck with what you've got. So I'm sure there's been an awful lot of work in the groundspeople and the people they've brought in over the last couple of weeks, but it's what's going on over the summer period, I think, that needs to be looked at. So, it's a hell of a mess. And I think what's often forgotten about this as well is also the Dundee supporters, you know, who've paid their season tickets. They've paid to watch this game. And if you pay for something in life, you want to get your money. You want to get your money's worth as well. So what happens there is for Dundee to handle if it did go behind closed doors. Of course, talk with Tannadice, which is a simple option, but as Roger was saying there, they've not got VAR, they've not got the facilities at the moment. They will have for next season if they get promoted. So, all in all, a real mess, and we can just sit and cross our fingers and hope that Wednesday night goes ahead.
Yeah, because, Roger, this is split into a few different areas. Obviously, what do we do going forward? How do we fix it this week? What do we put in place longer term? But then also questions asked about how it got to this stage. We'd calls last night saying, "Ah, well, you know, why wasn't the game played in the free week previously?" And it's caused quite a lot of debate across the board.
Yeah, there are a lot of layers to it. I think the most important thing is getting this game of football played now. It can't go beyond this midweek. There's Scottish Cup semi-finals involving Rangers next midweek, and the SPFL need to plan a post-split fixture list, and it's impossible to do that until you know who's going to be in your top six and who's going to be in your bottom six. Long term, the SPFL need to have a real look at Dundee. They've gotten a stage, Gordon, as you well know, because Dundee haven't spent enough money on the surface. I'm here at Fir Park this afternoon. Surface has taken an awful lot of rain in the last few days. It's taken an awful lot of rain in the last hour, and it's looking great. It's looking like a Premiership top flight pitch should look in the month of April, and that's because Motherwell spent, I think, £1.2 million on their surface the other year after they were fined by the SPFL. I am pretty sure there will be a fine coming Dundee's way, and there then needs to be pressure exerted on Dundee by the SPFL to make sure we don't go through this pantomime again next season.
I mean, I've seen lots of people sharing the tweet from the summer, which shows that Dundee did do work on their pitch, or, you know, relayed elements of it. Clearly something's gone wrong in that period, and it's not stood up to the very, very wet conditions, that leading to, Hugh, the phrase climate change used on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, something you don't hear too often. It's been that kind of week.
We struck ground zero last night on Super Scoreboard when a man called from Dundee, said he lived half a mile from Tannadice Street, and on Wednesday night his garden was perfect. Now, where do you go with that? Where do you go with a man in Dundee's garden? But my other feeling is that Dundee Football Club have not taken responsibility for this. John Nelms, the managing director, appears to take umbrage at any suggestion there's something wrong. Eric Drysdale introduced us, he's the club secretary, he introduced us to Storm Babette. What that had to do with anything, I have not got the remotest idea.
Well, look, it's obviously played a part, to be fair. I mean, like, there has been a lot of rain, and that's why, the, you know, we're in the situation we're in. Clearly, the bit that contradicts a lot of that is Tannadice, yeah, is the Tayside Fire Brigade, or whoever had their game on down the road the other night. These are the bits that say, well, you can't lean too much into the weather excuse, and Philippe Clement's massive on that. Yep. But that clearly has played a part.
Whatever has played a part. And Storm Babette, to the best of my recollection, blew out in January. However, the pitch is clearly not fit for purpose. Dundee have been negligent in terms of looking after their own ground. And at the end of the day, that's where Tony Docherty and his players, that's their workplace. And the club have been negligent with the team's own workplace. So if they are held to account next week, as is scheduled to happen, then they have absolutely no complaint whatsoever. And I'm now fascinated by how Dundee move to a new ground in the timescale that John Nelms has put forward. It would be a miracle if they do. However, we've got to get the top six sorted out, and we've got to hope that if Dundee are in the top six, this pitch does not take us into even more farcical territory.
The measures that appear to be put in place this week, Fraser, I noticed Philippe Clement's version of events differs slightly from the SPFL. They say a decision will be made well in advance of the game. Philippe Clement actually picked a day and a time, if you like. I think he said Tuesday lunchtime, around about when Rangers would be due to set off if they're going to head for St Andrews for a third time. Yep, hindsight is wonderful, I accept that. Should that have been done this week, the week that we've just had? Should this have been sort of taken out of Dundee's hands to a point by now?
Well, it's difficult because supposedly the referee was there on Wednesday at 11 o'clock and the pitch was okay. So what do? Do you put the game off when the pitch is okay, but we knew there was rain coming in? You know, one of the things about Scottish football is you never get clarity. I mean, there is nothing wrong with saying, "Listen, sorry, we got that wrong," or here's what actually happened. You know, we don't know. I certainly nothing I've read. Why was the game not played in the week before the Old Firm game? We don't have the rules in place to say it must be played in the week before the Old Firm. We just don't know that, and there's nothing wrong with saying, right, okay, something's wrong here. Let's fix it. I'm sorry, but let's go and fix it. Let's try and get the best solution. And I say this all the time. You know, we seem to govern our game and run our game, clubs and the governing bodies, by PR and frightened to say the wrong thing. Sometimes things go wrong. We all make mistakes in life. Let's try and make the best of it. And this is where, if Dundee were to say, listen, there's a real problem here, can we get help? People might help them. There might be other groundsmen, there might be other clubs, etc. But we don't seem to be able to get to the bottom of anything. So it's hard to get to the truth because clubs are saying one thing, the SPFL saying another. But let's just try and get the game on because it is very, very important, because we can't do the post. This is what the split brings. You can't do the fixtures at that point, you know. So it's an awful mess, and I actually felt for Eric Drysdale. I know he's got a wee bit of stick. He's a really good guy. He's one of the game's good guys behind the scenes, and he was thrust out there. I thought it was wrong. I think somebody higher up, maybe John Nelms, should have been out doing that talking as well. So Eric has my sympathy. He was in a no-win situation trying to defend that.
In terms of the football, Fraser, then, the logistics of it, when we can get it on and how it goes ahead, that's of paramount importance, and we'll deal with that in the coming days. In terms of the impact it has today on the top six, you know, Hibs have made their feelings quite clear on that, perhaps even on the title race to a lesser extent. Do you buy that stuff? Is that a concern?
Listen, it is what it is, and there's nothing that people can do at the moment about it, you know. And I know Hibs and Motherwell might feel inconvenienced sometimes in life, and sometimes football that happens. Of course, if Dundee win today, then it's all settled. You know, you could actually play the Dundee Rangers game after the split because Dundee will be in the top six, so that takes care of it. So we might be sitting here talking about this just now, and it is no bearing on the top six. The game could go ahead in another time. The key to this is the split, and it's getting those fixtures out, because we've got the Scottish Cup next week. But the clubs need to know who are they playing in a fortnight's time. So listen, I think it's football. It's there. Everybody wants to moan. Everybody wants to complain. We've all got a problem with it. We should be trying to help Dundee. We should be trying to make sure this game gets on in some way, shape, or form.
I mean, Roger Hannah, you are at the fixture that's directly impacted by this for both sides. Stuart Kettlewell made his feelings clear. He's not got so much of an issue. Well, it had plenty of issues with the pitch itself, but in terms of the sporting integrity argument for him, they're outsiders, they're eighth, they need to win the game anyway and hope for other results. For Hibs, do you understand where Nick Montgomery's coming from, or is this all a bit of a convenient excuse?
No, I do understand where Nick Montgomery's coming from. It comes down to our favourite phrase in the show, sporting integrity. You'll remember, Gordon, as well, Daz, a couple of years ago, the excitement when Ricky Lammy scored that goal for Motherwell at Livingston in the 90-somethingth minute, and it took Motherwell into the top six. Dramatic scene, supporters, euphoric on the pitch, celebrating with players. You know, Motherwell could, this afternoon, have had something as dramatic as that. A win over Hibs, Dundee are losing at Pittodrie perhaps, and there could have been another remarkable top six adventure for Motherwell with the supporters and the players in euphoric celebrations again. But if Motherwell win today, even if Dundee lose, Motherwell can't celebrate because they'll have to wait and see how Dundee got on in this game against Rangers. So it is spoiling the last day of the top six, what could and should be a happy occasion for some sides. And just, look, we're talking about it through, you know, through claret and amber glasses, if you like. The same goes for Hibs. Hibs could win today and not know whether or not they're in the top six. So it does spoil it a bit for Stuart Kettlewell and Nick Montgomery, and I can understand why Hibs are annoyed about it.
For nothing other than sport, Hugh Keevans, to give us something else to pull you up on, where and when will this game be played? You think just Wednesday night, Dens Park? Is that the boring?
No.
I don't think so.
No, apparently the weather.
Light drizzle Tuesday, cloudy Wednesday.
Well, the decision has to be taken on Tuesday. I think the decision will be taken on Tuesday that Dens Park will only be ready for football next August.
Well, they might play again at some point between now and the end of the season. I did ask him for my prediction. I brought that on myself. I should know better. Anyway, let's pause because although we have Wednesday night on our mind, not before we get beyond this afternoon. Huge games everywhere you look, and we go back round the grounds next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
15 minutes to go until kickoff in the 3 o'clock games. Celtic, of course, looking to stretch their advantage at the top of the table. St Mirren visitors to the east end of Glasgow, so plenty to look forward to in that one. No Daizen Maeda, of course, today. Could be out for the rest of the season. That remains to be seen. Callum McGregor back amongst the subs, and the lesser spotted Mike Navrotsky in the team. Only the sixth start for him in the league this season. So Gabriel, it follows that a fair bit of focus on him. I think many Celtic fans suspected maybe that Stephen Welsh would get the nod.
Yeah, Gordon, that's what we've seen in the games when it's been Cameron Carter-Vickers mainly, or Liam Scales out because they've been the preferred partnership. It has been Stephen Welsh that has deputised in that place, and it really put in the spotlight the signings of Gustav Lagerbielka and Mike Navrotsky, because they were brought in for a combined £7 million in the summer, and we thought, you know, perhaps could both of their futures lie elsewhere if Rodgers doesn't seem to trust them. But it is a big game for Navrotsky, as you say. Not many starts at all this season. It's his first start since February, so a big game for him. And as well for Yang, starting on the left-hand side, Gordon. We usually see him playing on the right. Obviously, left-footer likes to cut in, but he's playing on the left, so a big chance for him today. And even Luis Palma off the bench, not been in the squad for 2 months. Can he make an impact with Daizen Maeda? Looks set to be out. It could be for the rest of the season. That left-wing berth is there for someone to take.
Now, I have to say, there are a few interesting pieces of team news like that across the country. One that's really caught my eye, though, Fraser Wishart, for a number of reasons, is the fact that Craig Gordon plays in goal today and Xander Clark is on the bench. Now, to state the obvious, this is also about Scotland rather than simply Hearts. What's your reading into that one?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. I think you're right, there's pretty significance for Scotland, but for Hearts, they'll get the semi-final next week. So just taking the opportunity to rest a few players and they bring Craig in. Craig's been playing in the cup ties and Xander Clark's been the first choice. But I mean, just speaking to people around Tynecastle, that they are looking at maybe that they could play, well, that's just the stories I'm hearing about, they could play Craig Gordon even after the split. If they secure third place, Craig might get a few more games and that might set him up for a place in Scotland's squad. I mean, I would take him anyway. I think if he's fit, he's an influence, he's an experienced player. If you need them to go on, I don't think he'd be first choice if he doesn't play many games between now and the end of the season. But if he plays today, plays next week, and then maybe 3 or 4 games after the split, then all of a sudden he's putting himself, I think, right in contention for being first choice when we get to the Euros.
So, if Craig Gordon tends to play the Scottish Cup games, you still expect him to play next week, and this is a sort of warm up for that, or does Xander Clark now come back in for the Cup because it's the semi-final stage, or what's your guess?
My guess would be that Gordon will play next week. Craig Gordon's been in the Cup. They tend to do that with the goalkeepers, most squads nowadays, when they get two good goalkeepers as Hearts have. But this is just to give them a bit more game time and then lead up to it, because he's not played for a number of weeks since the last Cup tie as well, so it's an opportunity. And they're playing Livy, who have hardly picked up any points in the last 5 or 6 months, so they're probably thinking an opportunity to give Craig a bit of a run out with next week in mind. And then, as I said earlier, if Hearts all of a sudden, the 3 games to go, are secure in third place, they might just give him a few more games as well, which have a real positive impact on Craig Gordon-Percy. But I think Craig will play next week against Rangers, when he'll be a bit busier than he is going to be today, I think.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Fraser. I think that Hearts have got one eye on the semi-final. It's ideal to play Greg Gordon today. It's at home against a Livingston side. I don't know if he's got to get a lot of action, right enough, but get him a bit match sharpness for next week, because next week's obviously massive. He's left out a few players, and Fraser's right, it'd be a real dilemma for Steve Clarke if Hearts secure, because Craig Gordon is number two choice just now at Hearts, but if Hearts do secure that place, which we all expect them to do, and Craig Gordon starts getting games, it leaves Steve Clarke with a real dilemma, because he can't then come out and say, well, look, he's not playing, he's only played in the cup games, near end of season he started getting games, he might perform very well. It's a real headache for the Scotland manager for me.
I don't know if Steve Clarke does dilemmas.
I think so, Hugh.
I think he already knows whether he's taking Craig Gordon or not, and I believe he will take him. So, I mean, today, I'd have a bet.
But the problem is, right, we'll all admit Craig Gordon is a fantastic goalkeeper, right?
Well, I don't think he would take him if he played no games between now and the end of the season.
But if he does play games,
then that can change.
Exactly, and that's why I'm saying I think it's a bit of a dilemma.
Going to be an interesting one. Fraser, you're going to watch Livingston today, and a really remarkable week this, because in any other week, the VAR drama that took place at Livingston against Aberdeen last week would have been the biggest story in town, but the Dundee pitch came along and knocked it off the back pages for most of the week. For anyone who did miss it entirely, basically the calibration failed on the goal that Aberdeen had ruled out. It meant that the VAR was looking at an image without the lines and sort of guessing, or educated guess, call it what you want, as to whether it was offside or not. The goal didn't stand. Aberdeen clearly unhappy and hit out at that. The Scottish FA responded to sort of admit that there had been a technological failure. Whether this pulls any of it back for people or not, when they've retrospectively been able to assess the goal, it looks like the right decision was made, but quite something.
Yeah, it was quite something, and whoever guessed was fortunate, because they guessed right, and retrospectively it was proven to be the correct decision. But if they guessed wrong, then I think that would have been a huge decision, especially with Aberdeen, you know, in the position they're in, and the games that they've had recently, and the top six maybe not without with the reach now. But I think it, you know, we have VAR in Scotland, but it's VAR light. We only have six cameras at most of our games in England. Where you look at, they've got 25 cameras. They're actually going to start to bring in semi-automated offsides as well. We've not even got goal-line technology. So if VAR's going to stay, and I've made my position clear, but if VAR's going to stay, then we have to accept there's going to be problems. There's just, because we've not got enough of the technology in place, you know, and there was a problem. And it's nice to see, as I said earlier about the Dundee thing, look, admit there's a problem and try and sort it. And that for me would be the first step to say, right, VAR's not 100% right, there are issues here, how are we going to sort it? Speak to players, speak to managers, speak to everybody, supporters as well, and see if we're going to keep it, then let's make it better. But fortunate in all angles, as you said, it was kept off the back pages, and fortunate that the guess was right, because if that had been the wrong guess and the Miosky goal should have stood, then I think Aberdeen would have been even more unhappy than they were. That was a strong statement, basically saying we don't want VAR, and there's a few more clubs, I think, feeling that way now as well.
I suppose this is the, back to the kind of bigger picture about the full concept, Roger, this idea that, you know, we sort of hoped it would be better or more reliable or more accurate or whatever across the board, because, you know, Mr. Netflix, who might be there at Fir Park, if some of his colleagues wanted to donate money and we spent the same money on our VAR as the English Premier League do, it still doesn't guard you against the odd technological failure. So it's really about making sure that your processes are in place properly for when that does happen.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, Gordon. It's a sort of two-pronged argument. This, Scotland, I don't get to say it's a cheap system. It's not. It's a system that the Premiership clubs can afford to bring in. It's going to have glitches. If anywhere you've got technology, there are going to be glitches. You know, you've seen games go off because floodlights fail. So, you know, at times the VAR is going to fail as well. It was a famous one here at Fir Park when Celtic were here last season. Obviously, the Livi Aberdeen game, I was there for Super Scoreboard last week. The goal went in, Miovsky celebrated, and then suddenly there was a VAR check, and there was this doubt. No, everybody left not really knowing why the goal had been disallowed, and that's unsatisfactory. But it's not just the technology. I think I was watching Champions League, Europa League, Conference League games through the week there, Gordon, and they go far more slickly than our games domestically do. because UEFA seem to instruct the VARs differently. We were promised at the very start it would only be interfered with for clear and obvious errors. That's what they do in Europe. The games run far more slickly, far quicker, with far fewer VAR interruptions. There seems to be at the SFA a conscious decision to almost re-referee the game through the VAR, and I'm not sure that's helping the game, and I think clubs are now beginning to think this is the wrong way to go forward with VAR.
Ah, don't worry, I'm sure there'll be no drama on that front this afternoon as we head towards the 3 o'clock games next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kick-off just around the corner at the 3 o'clock venue, so let's go back to Celtic Park, St Mirren the visitors, and Gabriel has a recap of the teams.
Yes, they are, Gordon. A massive day here in the title race. Celtic know a 4-point lead would be huge at this stage. Yes, Rangers will go 2 points clear if they win both of their games in hand, but not the easiest of trips. Up to Dingwall, and then that pitch at Dens, or even a behind-closed-doors game at a neutral venue. Of course, we know the final Old Firm of the league season will be in early May, and it will be at Celtic Park as well. Brendan Rodgers will be comfortable with where his team are heading into those final five matches in the split, as long as his side deliver today. But St Mirren have nothing to lose here, Gordon. There's no pressure on the team, according to St Mirren boss Stephen Robinson. They've secured top six. He wants his side to kick on and reach Europe. And how far would a result here go today towards that? They've not won against Celtic, though, in any of their last seven attempts. The teams currently out on the pitch, just exchanging handshakes. Celtic in green and white, St Mirren in their red strip. Let's give you a run-through of the teams again. It's two changes for the Hoops, with Mike Navrotsky and Yang coming in. Hart in goal, a defence of Johnston, Carter Vickers, Navrotsky and Taylor. Iwata, O'Reilly and Hatate are in midfield. Kun, Kyogo and Yang are up top. For the visitors, it's two changes as well, with O'Hara and Bacchus into midfield. It'll be a 3-5-2 formation for them. Hemming in goal, a defence of Fraser, Gogic and Taylor. Pomono and Tanza are the wing-backs. O'Hara, Bacchus and Boyd Muntz are in the middle of the park. Olasanya and Kilty lead the line. Referee Stephen McLean just going over the... with camera Carter Vickers and captain Mark O'Hara before kickoff. And Carter Vickers stand-in captain today, of course, with Callum McGregor on the bench, entering the huddle with the Celtic fans. As You'll Never Walk Alone plays around the ground. As you were saying, it is a sellout here in the east end of Glasgow today. Green and white flags waving in the corner. A big banner reading Glasgow Celtic on the far side. Sellout crowd is ready. There was heavy hailstones earlier, Gordon, typical Glasgow fashion, but the sun is threatening to break in through the clouds at the moment. The pitch will be wet and ready to zip the ball about. The fans are ready as well, as is Matt O'Reilly. He stands over the ball, and we are just about to get underway in today's 3 o'clock matches.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard Goal Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Interested in a career in pharmacy? Apply today to join their team.
And just like that, a week where we've done a whole lot of talking is over, and it's back to action on the field in the Scottish Premiership this afternoon. So what does your bragging rights ACCA look like, Hugh Keevans?
I think no Daizen mayhem is a problem for Celtic. Is Kuhn any better? Is Yang any better? No, they are not. But I'm going to take Celtic to win narrowly against St Mirren. Sorry, Gordon and Gordon. Hibs to win at Fir Park. Hearts to beat Livingston with ease. Aberdeen to beat Dundee. And Kilmarnock will win away from home against St Johnstone.
I'll go for a Celtic win at home. I'm going to go for a draw in the battle of the bad defences at Fir Park between Motherwell and the Hibs. Hearts will wipe the floor with Livy. There'll be a draw at Pittodrie between Aberdeen and Dundee. And Kilmarnock will get out an away win at McDermott Park.
Simple for me, 5 home wins, move on.
Oh well, short and sweet, thanks very much. You can stay in touch all afternoon on Twitter at ClydeSSB. I will give you the nod when it's time to have your say on the phones a bit later on today. and I'm sure there will be no shortage of talking points there. Get in touch though all afternoon, keep us company. Goals are going in down south already. Man City are one up on Luton. We're already getting lots of tweets in, it has to be said. Speaking of Man City, I had one earlier, Gordon DL, from David McKee, who was off to see Man City today. He was told that a legend would speak to them in hospitality before the game, and he was just inquiring as to whether it would be you, but it would appear not. You're busy, you're here.
I've been asked many times to attend some of the home games, but unfortunately, duty calls in the SSB studio.
Yeah,
thought you would have been on that new Netflix documentary. It's out, the treble winners. You seen that?
No, look, I like lads that have achieved that to go and get the spotlight. I'm not really interested in that, Mark.
Yeah, Colin and Kenny listening from Milan. Unhappy though, struggling to catch the golf. They're struggling to get the Masters on the telly. That would just be your idea of hell, wouldn't it?
I would be looking for a next flight out of there. Or I'd be going somewhere else.
Is there any way you'll concentrate on this show this afternoon?
Well, I'm a bit disappointed because I usually like looking not at you, the screen behind you. And unfortunately, the producer's not put the golf on. He's put this football on. I don't know what this football's
on. I texted him last night about 9:30 or something like 9:45 for a favour. And he responded to me, "I'll deal with it tomorrow. I'm too busy watching the golf." How can you be too busy watching the golf to deal with a simple favour?
The Masters.
Anyway, huge chance for Kilmarnock early on. A reverse pass from Danny Armstrong. Watkins in the wide right. Vassell was all alone in the box, but he just couldn't quite connect properly, and it goes wide from around 10 yards. Dundee are applying some early pressure at Pittodrie. However, Portales, the boy from Mexican, remember
the Mexican
him? He's been booked for taking down Duke already. So referee's not hanging about there.
Take him off. Walking a tightrope, is he? All
if you're
that
going
nonsense,
to get booked
get booked early.
Well, I don't know about getting booked early. I don't know if that's the right phrase. I think if you're going to lose a goal, lose it early, you have plenty of time. But bookings, I'm a bit concerned about that, especially when the game is so, so important.
Motherwell had a bit of a sniff. It was Joan Yule just shepherding the ball out from Lennon Miller. Not a chance as such, just Motherwell trying to go on the front foot. Hibs in their purple kit today at Fir Park. I hope you didn't leave the flat window open. It was torrential before kickoff.
Well, I usually have them all open and then just close them when I get in at night, but I'm not obviously staying there tonight. I'm in someone else's bedroom.
Where is it?
Where's this going?
What are you on about?
I'm dog watching.
I'm glad you said watching. I thought that was the end of this long crowd show.
To be fair, I was delighted I said it myself. I'm dog watching, I'm babysitting the dog.
So you've flooded your living room, you're not bothered.
Tell him what you woke up to in the middle of the night.
Oh, the wee in the
woke up startled in the middle of the night, he said.
A dog actually cuddling into the back.
Find a dog under the covers cuddling into his back.
I've had a lot of things in my life, but that's one thing I was not expecting.
Honestly, there's a bit of a delay.
Well, maybe
at Celtic Park early on. I think there's a St Mirren player down who is in a bit of discomfort, so we'll wait and see what the outcome of that is. Clarkson's had a 20-yard free kick turned over by McCracken as Aberdeen try and find some initiative early on. Aberdeen and St Johnston fans bound together by anti-VAR banners today. Aberdeen have put one up which says "End VAR," quite straight to the point, succinct. Yeah. And St Johnston says "End VAR," not fit for purpose. They've got a sort of subheading on theirs.
Well, I see Leighton Clarkson, the Aberdeen player, going public in the newspapers this morning, saying that he wishes that VAR was removed from Scottish football, following on from the club's official statement saying that VAR is not fit for purpose in Scotland. So we have a problem here. As Fraser has tried to put it, we have VAR, but it's not the full version, and therefore there will be problems.
I think we need to be a touch fair. It is a full version. It is a FIFA approved full version. Is it as full as the richest league in the world? Well, no, but then that would be stating the obvious, wouldn't it?
But when, you know, it was such an unfortunate story to come in the same week as the Dundee pitch story, when the officials admit that they took a guess, that just does not look good, doesn't read well, and it gives off the impression that we're a country with matches being played in unsafe conditions in more ways than one, because, you know, if they hadn't guessed correctly, the furore would have been awful to behold.
Gordon, just enlighten me. I can understand Aberdeen because of the situation in Livingston. St Johnston?
I think just generally
yeah, the fans have had enough.
There will have been some issues. I think every team has a complaint, don't they?
Yeah, they got a good win last week, weekend, so I was just wondering there. But it's interesting. I think a lot of people, when they seen it coming in at first, most of us were positive for it. But I think it does ruin the game for not just the players, but I think it ruins the game for the supporters as well. But I don't think we're going to get rid of it.
Well, let's see what happens this afternoon. I still think we can try and control things a bit. Let's not spend more time talking about it than we need to. Let's do it at the right times. Let's hope that we don't have too much drama today, and then we will have to get back to it. But in the meantime, Hugh, there should be no VAR required on this, I hope.
First half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
I'm sure the 3-3 draw at Ibrox last Sunday is still ingrained on people's minds, and I'm sure you remember the effect of the substitutes in that particular game. So with reference to that, can you name the last five players to score as a substitute in an Old Firm game before last Sunday's 3-3 draw? Don't include Adamida or Matondo. Before that game, can you name the last five players to score as a substitute in an Old Firm match?
Good question, and I think lots of you will eat that up. So at Clyde SSB, it is a race. Get all your answers down, put them on one tweet, send it over there, and try and beat everyone else to it. At Clyde SSB, Dukes made the most of a challenge by Jordan McGee in the box. Nothing untoward, says the referee. Hibs on the attack at Fir Park, trying to make something happen in what is now glorious sunshine in North Lanarkshire, you'll be pleased to know.
Good news.
Gordon DL, so your living room can perhaps dry out there. And no goals to tell you about. A bit of a disrupted start at Celtic Park, although there is an air of a bit more, I don't know, optimism, if that's the right word, Mark. Sort of stand up for the champions being sung early on. It has been a tetchy place at times, and it may continue to be if today doesn't go to plan. But the fans trying to do their bit as we reach the business end of the season.
Well, I think that certainly comes off the back of last week and the performance in that first 45 minutes especially. I think the fans can see a product that they like within that, and you know, the way the game ebbed and flowed, and then 3-3, was my opinion, wasn't a bad result getting out there, and I think a lot of the Celtic fans were the same. So they know what has to be done. Hugh touched on it earlier. 6 wins out of 6 guarantees the title again, so they're quite right to go there with optimism today.
The fact that you sell out 60,000 for a game against St Mirren, the fans are trying to do their bit. Brendan Rodgers has acknowledged the Celtic supporters and what they can do. They've got 6 games, 4 are at home. If you slip up today, it is an anticlimactic start to the whole affair. And that's why it is imperative, from Brendan Rodgers' point of view, the players' point of view, that they move 4 points ahead of Rangers, meaning that no matter what Rangers do in Dingwall tomorrow, Celtic will still be top of the league.
Yeah, but for the fans, I think you're right. They've sold out because they're obviously there to give their team support. They've got to be patient. First and foremost, you've got to be patient, because you're playing a St Mirren team, finished top six. They've been excellent this season. Yes, you highlighted in the last few games their form's not been that good.
No.
They've got decent players, St Mirren.
Oh, yeah.
They're well organised. They will make it difficult. So I think this afternoon, if you're Celtic, it's all about trying to be patient. I know it's hard for supporters, but if you're there to support your team, that's what you need to do.
Even Celtic Park, the most enclosed stadium in the Scottish Premiership, is not immune. The goalkeeper trying to take a free kick and the ball is just blowing away from where it should be. We've got one of these early on.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
I'm not for a second saying it's his fault, but Craig Gordon has conceded, and it's a goal for Livingston. A lot of talk about the change in goal for Hearts this afternoon and what it means going forward. It is Livingston who found the back of the net first, and it's a brilliant goal. Stephen Kelly with it, and Craig Gordon was involved. He's rushed out of his box to head the ball away.
Misses it.
No, headed it away, and Stephen Kelly punishes him, and it goes into the back of the net. If there's any chance of a miraculous escape from Livy, maybe we're seeing the start of it. A 30-yard brilliant effort from Stephen Kelly.
Of all the games we have, starting at 3 o'clock today, that was the least expected piece of news that you brought us there. I would never have thought that Livy would get a goal, never mind this early in the game. And, you know, it's incredible that Craig Gordon back, everyone talking about him, and he's implicated, if we can use that word, in Livy's lead.
Yeah, it's a left-footed finish first time, Mark. You can picture it. Craig Gordon comes out, heads the ball away, and he's punished for it. That doesn't always mean it's wrong of the goalie to do that, so we need to get a look back at it. But nevertheless, he has conceded.
Yeah, that's Livy's only their 21st goal of the season. That is extremely poor, and I agree with Hugh. Did not expect him to get a look in today. But if you're Craig Gordon, it's about taking your chance when you're in, making some important saves and not doing anything stupid. Now, it might not be his fault if he's headed it clear, but I think he'll still be thinking, I've played a part in this. If a goalkeeper comes out and he's left himself exposed,
you're involved, aren't
you're involved. So not ideal for him.
I can hear those shouts from Liam Kelly, Xander Clark. Yes.
Xander Clark sitting on the bench.
Yes.
Unlucky Craig.
But Hearts have, they've made what, 6 changes after then? You still expect them to come back, especially at home, especially with the form that they've been in.
It's not always
semi-final.
About the number of changes, because one is to bring Lauren Shanklin back.
So it makes them stronger up front. But listen, good start for Livy, but we know Livy, the way they go about their business, will probably concede 2 or 3 this afternoon. They're well gone. Even if they did go and get a miracle result today, there's no way back for them. But it'll all be highlighted with the goalkeeping situation, because I said it earlier, if Craig Gordon went in and started performing and back to his best, I think it does leave the Scotland manager with a bit of a headache.
Yeah, it looks like he definitely should have done better with the clearance. He possibly had to come out and get it, but once he got there, really should have done better.
It's never been his strong point, in his game.
Heading.
Coming out, his
ball. I feel like there were a few at Celtic.
Remember the one at Celtic Park? He comes out to the right hand side in the right back area, and he cleans the player out. Did he get sent off that game, or did he get away with that? Actually, it was a ridiculous challenge.
One in Europe as well, was it?
I think there was one in Europe as well. Yeah, so it's not been his strongest point.
No. Leighton Clarkson's fired one wide. He was a good opening, really. Miovsky's cut back, but Clarkson couldn't find the target there. Joe Newell has been booked for a challenge on Blair Spittle. Maybe he's just trying to get the Edinburgh rivalry in for next season, since Blair Spittle's heading to Tynecastle on a pre-contract agreement.
Good move that for Spittle, deserves it.
You're right, Mark.
Let's be honest, just moving up the chain.
Downgrading. Yeah, you can't go for Motherwell at Hearts.
Treble the money, possibly.
Yeah, exactly. Bigger crowds, better stadium. What else are they? But the traffic's terrible getting in and out of training. That wouldn't be me. And they've got the trams now. Sorry. Fair Park, up Airbus Road, training. Dale Park down the road.
How did your trip to Edinburgh go last week? Yeah. Did you get in and out?
When I got home, it was a complete change of plan, and I was told to sit and watch one unwell grandchild, and the rest went to Edinburgh without me. But we've got to go to Edinburgh tomorrow to get them on the train back home.
You better leave the night.
Yeah, I wouldn't fancy that, Hugh, on a Sunday.
Anyway, 13 minutes gone at Celtic Park, and
heavy weather.
Yeah, it's got to be one of
those. By the way,
talking
about the weather is shocking. By the way, because at this time of year,
are we not better than this though? I mean, I know it's related to the Dundee pitch. Are we seriously on this award-winning, extremely popular radio show?
We've got to, because it's impacting the level of football. This was the time of year that I loved playing. The pitches were in good condition. The sun had started to come out, and summer was just around the corner. It was a brilliant time to play. But every game I switch on in the past, seems 3-4 weeks, the wind's been howling, the rain's ruining the pitches.
I'm not talking about the weather, I'm saying it's time for Brendan Rodgers to make substitutions.
Who would you have off, Hugh? Anybody?
Yang and Kuhn.
Two wingers.
Kuhn has been Celtic's brightest player so far. Yeah. So
must be a poor game then.
Let's not just default to opinions that were decided upon before the game took kicked off.
I said earlier, listen, there's a couple of things here. St Mirren are decent, right? They'll make it hard. They'll sit in. They've got good defenders. There's pressure on Celtic as well. 60,000 there expecting them to cruise through this and put the pressure on Rangers. There's a lot at stake now. We're at the business end of the season where you've got to hold your nerve. You've got to be big and strong to go and win games, whether it's with style or being ugly, as you say in football. It's all about 3 points.
I just think generally, Mark, St Mirren are too good for this to be easy. They're too organised for this to be easy. You'll remember even during the famous Ange Ball era, there were a few games where the scoreline was convincing for Celtic, but actually
For long periods
it was pretty
but
tough.
But it would be fools to say that this is going to be plain sailing for Celtic and Rangers at home in the remaining games. In a season where we've seen Aberdeen go to Ibrox, Motherwell go to Ibrox and win, Hearts come to Celtic Park and win. Who else been to Celtic Park and won? Anybody?
Celtic lost at Rugby Park, but not at Celtic Park.
But the teams have came to Celtic Park and Ibrox and went away with 3 points. So when you're dealing with the teams at the top end of the table, and St Mirren being one of them, sitting in fifth, then it's going to be a tricky afternoon. Early goals are magnificent when you get them. It just settles everybody, but it's never a guarantee.
And we've not got many of them anywhere. We've got that one that perhaps is a shock. It's Stephen Kelly for Livingston. Remember, we set the scene before. If you're just joining us, Craig Gordon recalled to the Hearts starting 11 today. That is a very interesting one with the Euros fast approaching. He probably will play the Cup semi-final next week because he's played the Cup games so far. He came out, headed the ball clear, but Stephen Kelly made him pay and fired the finish into the back of the net. That's the only goal so far.
I wonder, with Craig Gordon, if it works against him. What if he plays poorly? He's already been culpable or involved in the goal against.
He'll play next week.
Wow. What if he has another mistake? Does Stephen Naismith then think the opposite way? He's played himself out the semi-final team.
I think you'd lose your goalkeeper then.
He's 40. What is he? 41.
I know what you're saying, but he's still a big part of what Hearts are doing.
Yeah, you've kind of made your commitment to give him the cup games, haven't you?
Yeah, and I don't think you can judge him on one game.
But surely there can be no commitment to you playing the cup ties if you think, no, I'd be better off sticking with Sander Clark for this game. Surely, and on the basis that Hearts have played Rangers 4 times this season and lost 4 times. You should be thinking about getting the best 11.
Yeah, but I think this is a bit different, isn't it? If it's Craig Gordon, you're kind of assuming that he's giving you as good a chance of getting a result as
you would
Xander
hope
Clark
so.
Is.
But
it's not
the argument, only if he's playing well. So if he plays poorly today.
But I think Gordon's point is, because it's only one game, is that enough to determine either way that you know you're playing well or not?
I'd be up to Stephen Naismith. I don't know what type of manager he is, if he's reactive or he is a bit more considered and think
but
it is one
right,
game.
I'll throw this
by the way, I've misrepresented it for you. Actually, wasn't a header when Craig Gordon came out. He did come out. It was a side-footed clearance that fell to Kelly, who was not too far away from him. So I don't think it is going to look too great for Craig Gordon.
I was going to say, that's potentially worse.
You've got him out. You've got him subbed at half-time.
I actually wanted Craig Gordon to go to the Euros. I thought it would be a Kelly.
Fairly chaotic at Fir Park. Blair Spittle's trying to take a corner and the wind is just blowing the ball away constantly. Going to see the old get your teammate to line, put a finger on top of it.
That was one of the good
days. I genuinely think they might have to. Hatate's had a good strike there from inside the box. It's saved. Best chance so far for Celtic. On a serious note, like Motherwell took that corner short, but only because they had to. See, when it starts having that impact on the game, it's a bit...
The game becomes in danger if the wind's that strong.
What do you mean, because it had to?
Because he couldn't have the ball sitting long enough to take a run up and cross it in. So he basically just got fed up, put it down, passed it 2 yards.
Like a wee hole, don't you? A wee divot. But then, can't you get much loft under it?
That ruins the game, because if you can get a good... We've seen it up... where was it last week? Dundee,
yeah.
You know, you cause problems with the wind into the goalkeepers. Dundee scored directly from one. So,
were you worried about the golf at any point last night? Did you think your night was going to get cut short?
Yeah, but it was a bit stormy, windy. Over in Augusta. But I've got to say, I'm really enjoying it, so I can't wait for tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah, it's been a difficult day conditions wise. The guys who play the game always tell you that the wind is the worst, and it is having that impact already. As we said, even Celtic Park, which should be, well, is the most enclosed, it's still whipping round inside there as well. 20 minutes gone at Tynecastle, no Hearts shots on target. I suspect they will get a bit restless if this deficit carries on for much longer.
If,
Hugh,
if you are nailed on third, does that seep into the minds of the players? And maybe it's not quite the same level of intensity.
But do you know something, Hugh? I always waited to the big games were round the corner and probably tried my hardest to keep myself in the team. Because there's two things to that. The appearance money was better and the bonus money was better. So you had to get yourself in that team, that starting 11.
You will admit that you had a unique take on professionalism when you were playing the game.
Look, it was a job, Hugh. Everybody does a job. You get out there, do it best your ability. I was born with the talent of being a footballer. I became a footballer, lived my dream and moved on. But I've got to say, you've still got something to play for, especially the Hearts players today, to say, right, okay, there are a few changes. I know Shanklin is a stick on, but other guys will be saying, I want to put it in the manager's head, I want a game.
Yeah. Goal flashes with
M&D Green Pharmacy. Hearts nil, Livingston 2.
What?
And it's Stephen Kelly again. He robbed Frankie Kent. He ran into the box. It was a good low finish past Craig Gordon. I don't think the goalie was necessarily to blame, but the Hearts fans are not happy. Livingston just up the road at Tynecastle and leading 2-0.
How do you think Don Cowie feels in Dingwall? It's what? You know, because it opens the door to the possibility of something remarkable happening. But that's an astonishing scoreline.
Big chance for Eli Yuan at Fir Park, teed up by Maya Lida, and it nearly hits your flat window, Gordon Dale. A terrible effort, really. Ryan Strain, who's a really popular player at St Mirren, he's been excellent, he's been injured for a while, he has come on. Elvis Buomono has gone off. He's been struggling for a while. He's been down a couple of times and toiling, so he goes off. So you're just talking about, you said win bonuses, appearance money. Did you see that? Forgive me, I can't even remember where it was. It was in some sort of podcast. There was like a Huddersfield player on it this week, talking about the system that they had was, they got X amount of £1,000 per point that they picked up, and this went up and up. So by the end of the season, the Huddersfield players were on £7,000 a point.
Oh,
going into games.
That's what you're after. Whoever negotiated that is the best captain.
I can't believe a club would actually allow that.
Well, stayed up, I think, didn't they? Someone then retrospectively figured out, and if you had played like in all the games, it'd have been like £800,000 or something.
Imagine that, your holiday fund.
Yeah, I must admit, I put the best bonus structure ever at here. Because know what happens, right? No matter where you are.
Hold on, I've got another one of these to tell you. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. And it's for Kilmarnock, St Johnston nil, Kilmarnock 1, and it is Joe Wright. Liam Polworth cross, picks out Wright, holds off his man, and sweeps the ball into the net. He's kind of falling over as he does it, sweeps the ball into the net whilst on the ground. And Kilmarnock lead by a goal 2-0.
Their
Kelly's
consistency.
Tipped a shot over from Chris Cadden. Sorry, Hugh.
Their consistency is extraordinary. Derek McInnes has got them, the proverbial well-oiled machine now. And Kilmarnock will be a problem to the title seekers post-split, because you won't want to go to that pitch. But Celtic will have to go there.
They could only be 8 points off Hearts here.
Yeah.
If Hearts...
They're never catching Hearts, are they?
8 points?
I know they're still to play them, but... No. Come on.
No, I don't think so either, but I'm just trying to... Yeah.
Kelly and the Hearts are just sitting there in those little spaces that no one's going to catch them, and probably the same for Livy.
Kelly
even
could
though
get
they've
caught,
got,
no?
From St Mirren,
5 points.
I just think with the consistency that Hugh says, sure. I think they're okay.
Hugh, remind us of your teaser, please.
Yes, can you tell me the last five players to score as a sub in an Old Firm game? Last five.
At Clyde SSB, remember, you're looking for all five on the one tweet, and it is a race. So let's see what you can come up with. I'll run through some wrong answers if you want to try and steer you in the right direction. Although most people are, I'd say, getting it pretty close. Looking at some of the answers, maybe don't have them all, but definitely getting it as close as can be. Charlie Blair Bear would like to throw in Stuart Armstrong.
No.
Okay, that's one of the wrong ones that you want to eliminate. And Big Doc wants to go Kemar Roof.
No.
Okay, keep your guesses coming in then. That might just help you. First St Mirren chance. It's a ball flashed across. Greg Kilty can't quite steer it goalward. But a reminder that it's not all about St Mirren's defending. They are trying to score at the other end as well.
What was the bonus structure? The whole nation's waiting to hear.
Sorry, I forgot. Oh, we've got four.
Okay.
Yeah, but fantastic bonus structure, Huddersfield. What I did was, every, when you played, you always got a bonus if you won, right? Every team, no matter where you were in the league, if you won, you got a bonus. I went in and put two players, right, scrap the bonus. Only bonus if you're first and second. If you're third on a Saturday night, you don't get any money at all. And every player went for it and made a right few quid. We finished second that year in the
I would be asking for the bonus before a ball was even kicked.
Well, you think
first letter in the alphabet, top of the league, give me a bonus.
No, but well, that's a good point. Yeah.
There you go.
Don't get me wrong, I was
not
in it.
Not for in the league,
because I was on the bonus what system as well. I'm the only manager that had an appearance. Right. I was on the appearance, the bonus money, everything.
I can imagine.
Oh, I was on everything down there. Let me tell you.
Annan 2, Cove 0. We are getting some goals down the divisions.
Cali
as
Thistle
well.
One up against Queen's Park, which puts Queen's Park potentially in trouble, because yeah, they could fall to second bottom and therefore the playoffs.
Well, Ayr United 1 are both 0. Big night in the Championship last night. It was looking a bit uncertain for a while. Is that Dundee United starting to put their foot to the floor?
I would say so. I think they're flexing their muscles now, aren't they? It's shown that at this end of the season, where it really matters, they can get the job done. But a good one that, because Morton have been going decent recently. We've seen how hard it was for Hearts when they went down there. But Dundee United, players at the top end of the pitch, you know,
falling away a little bit. Dougie Emery and Morton, 1-5.
Yeah, there was a good Celtic chance a couple of minutes ago, I meant to tell you about. Nicholas Kuhn, really good work down the right hand side, showed good strength actually, which maybe you wouldn't associate with him early on in his career. Cuts it back, and Matt O'Reilly's shot just had to go through a real ruck of bodies and couldn't quite find its way towards goal. So Celtic definitely on the front foot, but not troubling the St Mirren goal too much. No goals between Aberdeen and Dundee. Remember, a Dundee win secures top six, then you don't need to worry about what happens in that regard against Rangers midweek, assuming it goes ahead, of course. Motherwell and Hibs, the ones that are waiting to pounce should Dundee not get the business done today.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Game of the day has to be Tynecastle. Hearts have got one back, and it's George Grant. Hearts 1, Livingston 2. The Stephen Kelly double had Livy looking very good indeed, but a low Lawrence Shankland cross tapped home by George Grant, and it is game on.
Well, a big bit of growling from 18,000 people inside Tynecastle can work wonders on players. So it really is game on, and plenty of time for Hearts to come back from a shocking start.
It's a good game. Yeah. Good game. Three goals already.
First effort on goal for Hearts as well. Yeah. Half an hour gone.
Livy are easy to score against, so that is the thing. I know it's plainly obvious, but 55 goals conceded this season.
56,
yes, well corrected. Yep. You'd expect Hearts to score again, but can they keep the door closed at the other end? That's a question.
Danny Armstrong hits a free kick over the bar. Wasn't too far away. He's about 30 yards out, and just gets a bit too much height on it. Theo Bear trying to break forward and make something happen for Motherwell, but he's well marshalled on that occasion. Ayr United now 2-0 up against Arbroath.
Cruising.
Kelty Hearts 1, Stirling Albion 0. Though we had a Stirling Albion fan on Beat the Pundit during the week, didn't we?
Who did he play?
And we said they were
Please
slipping.
Say not me.
Oh, so yeah.
Was it you? Think? No, he didn't.
He did. Stirling Albion, you asked him who his favourite player was, and we hoped it was Jack Leach.
Oh, yeah.
Since he didn't say Jack
Leach. Did you lose?
I've lost every time I've played lately. I can't remember the last one I've had.
Yeah, he lost, remember, and then you gave him the opportunity for
you read the question. Far too slow.
I thought it was very fair to you doing that for your own record. I gave you the tiebreaker.
You did, and I appreciate that, but it's all about winning on the day, as in the head-to-head with the caller.
Oh, Hugh Keevans wasn't happy last night. He got taken to a tiebreaker, and the question was asking how many days I had hosted this show for, which even I thought was unfair. I hadn't seen the question. I hadn't flipped my page over. I did think it was ridiculous, so I thought, well, we'll do that for a bit of fun, then we'll go on to the real serious tiebreaker. But the other one that I had in reserve was, what's Andy Halliday's rating on FIFA or whatever it's called these days? Now, clearly Hugh doesn't have a, he doesn't have a scale
here. What does that mean?
He doesn't know what's good and what's bad, so he gave Andy Halliday a 22, which apparently would be like by far the worst player
literally
on the game.
You'd have got a round of applause for that, my friend.
I literally didn't understand the question.
I must admit, I would have been the same. Goal flashes
with M&D Green Pharmacy. Being a Livy fan's not easy, is it?
Oh, I told you.
Livingston 2, your Turtle Oda with the goal. It's a very similar goal to the first one. It's Lauren Shankland. If he's not scoring, he's setting up two goals within the first half an hour. He fires it across. There's Oda with the finish. He slid in to knock it home, and it's 2-2. What a game.
A four goal thriller. It's only half an hour in.
That's the floodgates open though, Hugh. Hearts will go on to get 5 today. Yeah. There you are. There's my prediction.
I just like the fact that Fraser Wishart's really shaking off that tag he used to have of, you know, being like
boring.
The nil-nil specialist.
Never shaking off that tag.
The nil-nil specialist.
You give Fraser a hard time,
no,
don't you?
Not. Honestly, I've said it before. I get drawn out in the sweep every Christmas night out with him. I've got to stand with him. This year, it will not be happening.
I have to say, some cheek from you when Fraser kindly invites you to his PFA Scotland Player of the Year Awards.
That
and
hurt
you,
me.
You patch him for going to see Take That.
I didn't know it was
we
a
discussed
I'd already,
this last week.
I'd already made all the arrangements.
Decision from
did,
you.
By the way, did you see Take That on Aunt Dec that night?
No.
No
good.
The pastor sell by date, I think. I think you're going in the wrong era.
I went to see
them.
Elton John. Right.
He was good.
He was hopeless, man. Honestly,
he was never hopeless.
He never even got 800 steps in. He sat at the piano.
He's a pianist. What's he doing?
But he's an entertainer. He came out with a dressing gown on.
So he could go on the road.
So he could get to bed early. Oh, Hugh, honestly, I've never seen him less before in my life. I'm sitting there. Don't get me wrong. He was terrific in his day. I'll give him that. Right?
Oh, good. I'm sure he's glad.
Okay. Ellen, if you're listening.
You were good in your day, says Gordon Dale.
I liked a lot of your music, right? Sad songs say so much. But he comes out.
Wait, what? Was that supposed to be one of his songs?
Was that supposed
sad songs say so much?
Is that supposed
sad
to be
songs he say?
Alright, okay.
Right. So I don't start on with it. But he comes out now. You're sitting there Saturday night and he comes out in a house coat. Come on.
I can't believe that was the Elton John song you chose. It's like the one to illustrate your knowledge of him. But anyway,
like Nikita.
This has been quite the week for you having a real go at the great and good of their respected fields.
Are you talking about that wee man?
You're a real pop at Gary Player on Thursday night show, which was strange. Now Elton John's getting it. Is anyone safe?
No,
criticism.
Slamming everybody.
I will never take away anybody's achievements in life, right? I'm never.
Well,
but Gary Player is the most annoying wee man I have ever spent 25. In fact, he was following you about. Shouting, Daz, come here, I'll show you this one. This is what I'd done in the Masters in 1962. Gary, go away. Leave me. Air Wilson, go and bore him. He was a nuisance.
You did turn them on to me.
Oh, he was a nuisance.
Oh, bunker.
Oh, jeez, oh, man. And then, wait, I'll show you this setup, right? I'm like, mate, you've got neck muscles, you've no stomach muscles, your stomach's not even moving, it's your neck. He's gone 1, 2, 3.
Really doesn't like Gary Player, does he?
He lost me at hello. I've no idea what he's on about.
Hugh, honest, you know who Gary Player is, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, if you ever see him walking
never
down Shockey Hall Street,
if
you watch him, see him walking down Shockey Hall Street, get yourself across the lights.
I know we're on that sort of final straight towards the Euros. We're speaking about Craig Gordon, maybe keeping an eye on Scotland players to see how they're doing. Ryan Porteous has scored, but Southampton do lead Watford by 2-1. Incidentally, did you see this week? Looks like Aaron Hickey won't play again this season.
Ooh.
He is back in some sort of training, but he's unlikely to play again, I think, said the Brentford manager. Is that a bit close for comfort?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, it's a shame for the boy. Definitely one with talent. Definitely one that would start. And we are with Scotland. Who knows when the next Euros is going to come round or the big major tournament. So that's a sore one. Let's hope Nathan Patterson gets up to speed and continues to play, because we're going to need him. What other options have we got in that area?
Well, right, Ralston,
Steve Ralston will come on down.
Oh, by the way, yeah,
Ralston comes into the squad, doesn't he?
When he can't get a game for Celtic.
But he was in the last Scottish squad. Yeah.
You can only choose what Scottish right-backs are available. So
yeah. If only I was about now.
Yeah. Mind you, he'll be coming on because there'll be plenty of subs needed second half at Celtic Park.
Yeah, it would be a sore one because he's been terrific, hasn't he? You know, let's be honest, he's been really good. So, be interesting to see. Just need to keep our fingers crossed. We go with our strongest squad.
Well, you know, you can't have one argument for Craig Gordon that, oh, well, you know, not enough game time to go there, and then talk about a player who isn't playing football at all because of injury and convalescence.
What do you mean?
Hickey.
No, but if he's fit, he'll go. If he gets fit at the end of May, start of June, he's nailed on.
Is he really?
Like any charity bet you so wish. If he is fit, who else are you going to take?
That's not the problem. Is he fit enough to play?
It definitely is. I'm saying if he's fit, he'll be at the Euros.
How long has he been out?
Oh, for ages.
Yeah.
But you have to take somebody.
See, your point with the goalkeeper, I know where you're trying to go to, but the difference is we've got four goalkeepers. Yeah. We've not got four right backs.
I know, but you're talking about someone.
And they're talking about the squad going up to 26. Look, for the avoidance of doubt, nobody's saying you take Aaron Hickey if he's unfit to play. But if it's even given a chance, if he's fit come the end of the season, he'll be there. He'll be nailed on. And as we said, the squad might go up to
What is the maximum you can take? Is it 26?
No, well, it's still, I think, unconfirmed. It was always said to be 23, and then discussions have started bubbling away in the last week or so that it could be 26.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you might get a call up after all.
Oh, that would be good, that. I was always a big ambition. Imagine going away to a major tournament. These Scotland players, I was going to say, are lucky, but they aren't lucky. They deserve everything they get. Going away to two in quick succession.
Well, you say going away to two. First one was
exactly. Oh no, well they went away to England.
Went to Wembley.
Yeah, yeah. But was their training base not in North England or something? Because up here was double booked.
Somewhere near Middlesbrough or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Alec Gogic was booked for a sort of off the ball tussle, if you like, with Kyogo. Kind of blocked his run. You know, one of those where Kyogo's trying to steal a march and Gogic blocked him, went into the book.
I can't see the Celtic game, but I know this. If it's still goalless, they're toiling.
Yeah, again, maybe just a bit disrespectful to St Mirren. We know they're organised and not easy to break down.
Well, yeah, but the part of toiling is being unable to break down the other side.
See, be honest, you take a 1-0 right now. You would take a 1. Rangers will take 1-0 tomorrow.
Take 6-1-0, both teams.
Exactly. It's not about toiling. I totally understand where you're coming from, because you expect so much. It's all about getting the 3 points at this stage in the season. And Celtic are, and we've touched on it earlier, usually poor in one half and good in the other. So they might
and
be
by the way, I don't think this is not a poor first half. It's just one that can't find the break.
I agree with you, Gordon. I said it earlier. I think St Mirren are well organised. They've got good players. They've got good defenders. They'll make it hard.
3-0 Air United against our broth Anton Dowds with the goal. So Scott Brown's side very much enjoying themselves this afternoon.
Well, are both doomed, and now playing like a side who know they're doomed.
Yeah, Fraser Wishart's the one who's hoovering up most of the goals. Remember, it's two, or is it?
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Scrap that, it's a 5-goal thriller. Hearts finally take the lead, 3-2 to the Jambos. It's an unlikely goal scorer. It is Cammy Devlin. We're not even that close to half time yet, and Hearts have come back from 2-0 down to win 3 or to lead 3-2, I should say. Remarkable game.
Livy have clearly annoyed them by taking that 2-goal lead, and now they've wiped it out before half time. And Mark said earlier, 5-6, they've got to be on the cards now.
Well done to Hearts for coming back from 2 goals behind, because that is never easy. But if there's a team you want to let get 2 goals ahead, it is Livingston. Yeah. I mean, how weak are they? For a team that built you know, they're so many of their years on their defence and being tight units and hard to play against and restricting space, they are the complete opposite this year.
It's also a similar goal again. So Cochrane this time with the low cross, Devlin side foot finish. David Martindale will be going crazy because he'll feel like there are patterns emerging here.
Do you not just, do you not, as a manager, do you not think Davey's got to the stage where he's just sitting there going, do you know what, I've tried everything.
What did I say?
Aye. I've tried everything. I've probably given them days off, brought them in double training sessions, changed their pre-match meals, arrived at the game different time. Davey would have tried everything in his power to try and change us. And sometimes you just got to put your hands up and say, right, let's get to the end of the season and prepare for the championship. And that's what they're
changed all everything doing. Apart from the role he's in.
Oh no, he's not going to that.
But any other side, and we've seen it this season, who are toiling, Ross County, St Johnson, Aberdeen,
get
all had a
manager.
Look and thought, we better do something here. But Livy, nope, we'll just stick.
Well, they're not really an attractive proposition. If you're a manager looking for a job, you wouldn't.
Oh, I think a lot of managers who are out of work.
We'd go to Livy.
It's a long time out of work, and there's not that many clubs here, so I think a lot would take that.
But David's not got to sack himself. He's not got to look in the mirror and say, do you know what, you've let yourself down. Here, there's your payoff, on you go. You'll hang on.
Let's round off the teaser, Hugh, whilst we have the chance.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
The last five players to score as a substitute in an Old Firm game before last Sunday's 3-3 draw are David Turnbull, Scott Arfield, Jermaine Defoe, Johnny Hayes and Odson Edouard.
Well done if you got them right. Congratulations to Billy Lowe, 67, who was in third place, Derek FM in second, and Matondo Prop was the winner of the first half teaser. We'll have a good Who Am I a bit later on this afternoon once those second halves get underway. So well done and thank you for taking part. Will we get any late drama at the end of the first half? Still a couple of minutes to go in most of the games. Celtic have not really come close to scoring, you'd have to say. Plenty of control, plenty of possession, but no real goal scoring threat. We've not come overly close to a goal at Fir Park either, or Pittodrie for that matter.
And those were the three venues that had drama written all over them. One for the title at Celtic Park, top six places, Motherwell, Hibs and Dundee at Aberdeen, and not a goal. Three games, not a goal. Meanwhile, in Edinburgh, they're going goal crazy, and Kilmarnock, the kings of consistency, are winning in Perth.
You wonder, Hugh, that if Brendan, like, we don't know, we're just listening to reports coming in. You wonder if he may just look second half of thinking, I'm going to change this.
If Celtic go in 0-0 maybe half time, it's always a sign that things are not going well, and the second half then becomes frantic, frenetic.
But by all the reports we're getting, they're not testing a goalkeeper. It's not like they're having shots and goals. They're not putting St Mirren under pressure. You wonder if Brendan Rodgers is looking at his bench and thinking, I may just have to change this afternoon.
Half time at Fir Park. Roger Hanna's there.
Yeah, half time. Gordon, Motherwell 0, Hibernian 0. So as we stand, it's advantaged in D in the fight for this last place in the top six. It's been a rather insipid first half, spoiled by the high wind that's been twirling round Fir Park in the first 45 minutes. Hibs skipper Joe Newell, he was booked early on by referee Willie Cullen for a foul on Blair Spittle. Hibs in their purple away kit, struggling at the start just to get a hold in the game. Jack Vale, he had a shot that hit Will Fish and deflected wide for a corner. It was in great play by Georgie Jaynt and Blair Spittle down the left hand side to create opportunities, and took the visitors a long time to get into the game. Eli Ewan has been recalled to the starting lineup today. He had a shot way off target after being teed up by Misery and Mayo leader Chris Cadden back at Fir Park. Then had an angle drive tipped over by the Motherwell goalkeeper Liam Kelly as the visitors sort of breakthrough. Mayo leader and Emiliano Marcondes exchanging passes. Mayo leader just failing to get a shot off as he came into the box to face up to Liam Kelly. An easy save for the Motherwell goalkeeper. At the other end, David Marshall needed two attempts in the swirling breeze to take a delivery from Davos Dravkovsky from the left-hand side under his bar. A booking again just before the break. Maconde is fouled by Jack Vale. Willie Collum again flashing a yellow card. It's been scrappy. The conditions haven't helped. We need better in the second half. Remember, Motherwell must win to have any chance at the top six, and a draw only does Hibs if Dundee lose. Motherwell nil, Hibs nil.
And the other game involved in that top six race is at Pittodrie. Dave Galloway has the story of the first half.
Yeah, half-time at Pittodrie. It's been decent stuff. Aberdeen nil, Dundee nil. Dundee started brightly, but Aberdeen threatened first. Leighton Clarkson's 20-yard free kick testing John McCracken. Then Bojan Majovski got the better of Joe Shocknessy, got to the byline and cut the ball back for Leighton Clarkson, but he shot wide when well placed. The D's carved out an opening from a corner, but Amadou Bakayoko's overhead kick went well wide of target, and Luke McCowan drove forward and played in Lyle Cameron, but Kel Roos made the all-important block. Both teams having a go in an open and entertaining first half, which has been very competitive too, and that was highlighted when Graeme Shinney was booked for a tackle on Dara Costolo. He had a frank exchange of views with Dee's boss Tony Docherty, who was also shown a yellow card. And then as the half-time whistle beckoned, Lyle Cameron very nearly put the visitors ahead with a shot from outside the box that skimmed the top of the bar. But at the interval, it's Aberdeen 0, Dundee 0.
And it's also half-time in Perth, St Johnstone against Kilmarnock. Here's Adam Binney.
Yeah, half-time at McDermott Park, it's St Johnstone 0, Kilmarnock 1. Joe Wright's 24th minute strike has Kelly in front at the break, but had it not been for Dimitar Mitov and the St Johnstone goal, this game could have already been out of sight. Boos could be heard from the home fans when referee Callum Scott sounded the half-time whistle. Kelly should have taken the lead after just 2 minutes when Danny Armstrong reversed a pass from Marley Watkins to the right-hand side of the St Johnstone box. His cross picked out Kyle Vassell all alone around 10 yards from goal, but he failed to connect with the ball properly and his attempt rolled wide. Derek McInnes' side continued to dominate proceedings. Armstrong wasn't far away with a volleyed effort from a Donnelly cross, and had it not been for a fine Andy Considine intervention, Kyle Vassell could have also found himself through on goal. But the opener eventually arrived in the 24th minute. Liam Polworth doing well to pick up Joe Wright in the box, who remained in an advanced position following a set piece. The defender held off his man and swept the ball into the net whilst falling to the ground. 10 minutes later, Marley Watkins nearly doubled the visitors' advantage when he latched onto a missed pass intended for Kyle Vassell. However, the Welshman's attempt to lift the ball over the outstretched leg of goalkeeper Dimitar Mitov was saved. Matty Kennedy then nearly scored directly from the resulting corner. Mitov was called upon again to keep his side in the game before the break. The Bulgarian international done ever so well to smother Matty Kennedy, who looked certain to knock it in from fellow wingman Danny Armstrong's cross. Half-time in Perth, St Johnstone 0, Kilmarnock 1.
And it's half-time at Celtic Park. Here's Gabriel.
Yes, it is, Gordon. Half-time, and it's 0-0 between Celtic and St Mirren. Was an optimistic mood ringing around the stadium at kick-off, but it's starting to get a bit more restless here. The players need patience from the supporters. They're dominating the game and moving the ball well, but they just haven't broken down St Mirren's stubborn defensive shape just yet. Now, Celtic started on the front foot. Reo Hatate forced a good save from Zach Hemming. First big chance of the game. A well-worked corner cut back to him at the edge of the box. Clean connection, which couldn't fire past the keeper. Did manage to get past all of the bodies though. And Nicholas Kuhn on the right-hand side then had some great work. Cut the ball back to Matt O'Reilly. Once again, found several bodies blocking that route to goal. Got to say, Kuhn playing really well. Celtic's most dangerous player by a mile in that first half. Beating his man easily, creating several half chances and starting to look like the man the Hoops thought they were getting when they signed him in January. At St Mirren's first foray forward was a ball flashed across the face from the right. Greg Kilty just couldn't turn it goalward. They threatened with a long direct ball a couple of times. Olasanya leading the line well, and they did start to grow into the game in an attacking sense in the final 10 minutes there. Hyung-Jung Yang coming into the starting lineup on a left wing for Celtic. He led a counter-attack there in stoppage time. The crowd were on their feet. It looked like a 4v4, but a poor pass as he entered the final third. Just sums Celtic up, really. Neither keeper has been forced into a save just yet. Let's hope for more action in the second half as the game opens up. It could be a huge 45 minutes in the title race, Gordon. The game remains deadlocked at the moment, though. Half-time at Parkhead. Celtic 0, St Mirren 0.
And we've even got a late one of these.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Lawrence Shanklin set up the first two. He's now scored the fourth for Hearts from the penalty spot. Remember, Livy were 2-0 up in this first half, and it's now 4-2 to Hearts, and we've not reached half time yet. Have we been everywhere else? I think we have. We're just waiting on Tynecastle. So it's going to be quite the half time report from Fraser Wishart. I'll tell you what, we'll do that next.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
The one half-time report you're waiting for from the Premiership is at Tynecastle. Fraser Wishart's had an absolute cracker to enjoy.
Yeah, plenty of goals here. Gordon Hearts 4, Livingston 2. A real unusual first 45 minutes. Score suggests been open, but strangely, other than the goals, there haven't been too many other shots on target for the goalie. 7 shots on target in the game and 6 goals. Livy were 2 up through a brilliant couple of goals by Stephen Kelly, and then 4 goals in 20 minutes got Hearts back into the game and then gave them the lead. The opening goal came in the 10th minute from Livingston. It was a brilliant finish by midfielder Stephen Kelly. Craig Gordon had to come out of his box to clear a long ball. He didn't clear it very well. His side foot clearance fell to Kelly, who was 30 yards out, inside left on the left hand side of the pitch, and he lifted the ball over everyone, including the goalkeeper, into the back of the net. First time with his left foot. It was a brilliant goal by the midfield player. And then in 22 minutes, the midfield player made it 2-0 Kelly again. It was Atkinson threw the ball to Kent on the edge of his own box. Poor touch by the big Hearts centre half. Kelly robbed him. 1-1 with the goalkeeper. Really composed finish past the goalie. And Hearts hadn't had an effort on goal in the first 25 minutes. And the first effort actually came on 29 minutes. And it was a goal. Devlin fed Shankland inside the box on the left hand side of the penalty box. Rather than shoot, which he could have done in the angle, he squared the ball and George Grant slid in to tap the ball into the back of the net. 3 minutes later, it was level. A similar goal, a long ball sent Shankland through inside left position. He could have shot, but this time low left foot shot, and it was Oda that slid in to side foot the ball home. Hearts fans, though, weren't too happy with their team's performance. Yenge had a couple of half chances. He caused Hearts centre backs real problems. Livy still dangerous and looked like they could get a goal, but it was Hearts that got their third on 40 minutes. And again, very similar goal. Hearts got in down the left. Again, a low cross into the 6-yard box, this time by Cochrane. And again, a player slid in to finish, this time Cammy Devlin. Simple goal from a couple of yards. Then, with the final kick of the first half, Michael Devlin, the Livy skipper, was shot with a headed pass back towards Shamal George. In nipped Oda, George fouled him. Up stepped Lauren Shankland to fire the ball into the corner of the net, sent the keeper the wrong way. It was a very good penalty by the big striker. As you can hear, it's been pretty blustery in the win. I think both managers will be delighted with the quality of the goals, but the back fours will have to tighten up in the second half. We'll see him again for me. We'll do 6 goals in 45 minutes at Tynecastle. Half time here, Hearts 4, Livingston 2.
An incredible game. Let's run through the half time scores then from the Scottish Premiership, where it's Aberdeen 0, Dundee 0, Celtic 0, St Mirren 0, Hearts 4, Livy 2, as you just heard, and Motherwell 0, Hibs 0, St Johnstone 0, Kilmarnock 1. In the Championship, it's Airdrie 1, Dunfermline 0, Ayr United 3, Arbroath 0, Queen's Park 0, Inverness Cali Thistle 1, and Raith Rovers 0, Partick Thistle 0. Into League 1, where it's Alloa 0, Montrose 0, Annan 2, Cove Rangers 2, Kelty Hearts 1, Stirling Albion 0, Queen of the South 0, Edinburgh City 0. In League 2, Dumbarton 0, Clyde 0, East Fife 1, Bonnie Rig Rose 3, Peterhead 0, Forfar 0, Stenhouse Muir 1, Elgin City 0, and the Spartans 0, Stranraer 0. If the English Premier League is your thing, a full-time score from earlier: Newcastle 4, Spurs 0. At the break, Brentford 0, Sheffield United 0, Burnley 0, Brighton 0, Man City 1, Luton 0, and Nottingham Forest 1, Wolves 1. And your second halves are coming up next.